Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hub World Podcast. Today's episode will be a Paper Mario Classic Partners Showdown. My name is Mateo, and today I'm joined by
Gino,
Jules,
and Joe.
Whether you're joining us from YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, be sure to like and subscribe. Now, let's get this showdown going.
I'm going to hijack this from you, Mateo, because we haven't done a showdown in a while. So I'm just going to remind our listeners what that is. So Hub World Showdown is when we do a series of tournament-style brackets on a certain topic, and we have internal debates, and then we talk about them for maybe like 2-3 minutes, then put it to a vote. In the event of a tie, I don't know what we want to do because we've never actually done one of these with an even number of people, so we'll figure that out when the time comes. Maybe we flip a coin, maybe we roll a dice, I don't know. Maybe we just wait till somebody inevitably just
caves.
But what we are doing this time, we are doing the classic partners from Paper Mario, and by classic we mean from the first two games. We thought this would be a relevant and fun topic to do because Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door remake just got announced a little while ago, and we're all very excited, so we want to relive some of our love for the games. So we thought this could be the first in what might be a couple of different Paper Mario podcasts throughout the next year. Now, just to make the bracket fit nice, we wanted to make sure there were 16, so we did add Twink from Paper Mario 1 to the list as our 16th partner because he is kind of an honorary partner, being Peach's partner throughout the first game. So we have a nice even number of 16. So are we ready to get the showdown going?
Yep. Do it.
Our first battle comes between the last partners from both games, Ms. Mouse and Lackaluster. Who would like to start off?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind actually taking the start on this one here. My first playthrough of The Thousand Year Door, I did not know that you could actually recruit Miss Mouse, and I thought she was just a really interesting like side character that you could run into every now and then. While Lackaluster actually, I believe, was like a story mode, kind of like, you cannot miss this because it's part of the main game. And I always thought Lackaluster was kind of cool. I liked Lackatoos and things. Miss Mouse is a great, I feel, like, side character. And because she is technically missable, I wasn't really able to use her too much in my party. My second playthrough, though, I made sure to get her. And I hate to say it, I was a little disappointed. I didn't really know what to do, what her whole gimmick was. After I upgraded her a little bit, though, I did have a little bit more fun. But I just used a better partner. It was a little too late. If you get her way earlier, I feel like she would have been way more useful.
I agree with you.
My vote has to go to Lackaluster, and he's got cool goggles, too.
Yeah, I'm also with Lackaluster. Like, Ms. Mouse is missable because she's just a missable character. So, Lackaluster, done.
I will chime in, and I say this with all due respect. Lackaluster is the worst partner across both games. I think he's stupid. You get him way too late in the game, and he's worse than all the partners that come before him. I don't like him at all. And I don't think he should win against any character on this list, let alone Miss Mouse, who I think is a very compelling party member. I like the fact that she's optional because I think she's a character that they, you know, use throughout the game, make you kind of like question, like, who is this character? And then, like, when you can recruit her, I think it's really cool. I also think she is useful when you get her because even though the characters before her do a little bit more damage, she pierces. So she's really useful, especially in the late game dungeons or the Pit of 100 Trials where the enemies have a lot of defense. So I personally am going with Miss Mouse on this one.
Yeah, Jules, you kind of took a lot of the words out of my mouth. I cannot vote against Miss Mouse. I really like her. And like this, her whole like cat burglar type vibe that she has with the cool mask and stuff. But now we're one battle in and we're already at a deadline here. So what do we do?
I think we start by trying to convince.
Yeah.
Right? That's where we start. And I will just start by saying that I think that these characters are in very similar boxes. Sure, Lackaluster is like on the main path, so you don't miss him. And Miss Mouse is missable. But I think even if Miss Mouse was missable, most people would have a stronger impression of her as a character than they would about Lackaluster, because I don't think Lackaluster has much of a character. There's a lot of reason to just shelve him after you get him, because he's not... Like, most of the partners, when you get them, are useful when you get them. Like, even in his own level, I don't find him any more useful than the other characters, even against the boss.
I will say with Lackalester, he's got the goggles and he goes really fast. So he's like the bike in Pokemon. You just use him as a utility partner just to help you get places quickly.
He's so useful.
I don't think he's as fast as just doing your little twirly thing in the first game.
Yeah, technically that's a speedrun strat to use that. However, I find him more useful to cross different like gaps and hazards. Whereas Miss Mao's ability to sniff out items, I use that as like
that's
if
fair.
You're new at Paper Mario and new at stuff, like that's like a newbie tool. Therefore, she's a that's newbie fair. Partner. She also heals you again. Newbie tool, use an item. It's easy mode. Easy mode partner. Not a true hardcore Paper Mario player if you use Miss Mao's.
That's really helpful though at the end of the game for her to be able to sniff out items. Like the healing is whatever, but like I don't know. I think finding stuff that you've missed, like star pieces and things like that, like if there's something you like really want to buy at the shops at the end of the game, having her out, I think, is a no-brainer.
She has a reason to use her. And like yeah. That's my issue with Lackalester is like all the characters, at least in Paper Mario 1. In Paper Mario 1, they like incentivize using the partner in the chapter you get them by making the boss tied to that character. And they don't do that with Lackalester. Lackalester is not the best character to use against Huff and Puff. He's like absolutely not the best one. Whereas like Sushi and Watt are the best to use against their respective. And literally, I'm not even kidding you. Like Lackalester, when I get Lackalester, the only time I pull him out is when I need to go over the spikes. And that's it. Like, I've never used him in combat because his abilities just suck compared to everything that come before him.
But Lakitus are cool. And you never actually, like, have any, like, Lakitu representation outside of, like, Mario Kart with, like, the little cameras and then the TV crew. Like, Lackalester was, like, our first real, like, taste of that outside of, like, being the camera in Mario.
Okay, throw it back at you. There's no Mouse representation outside of Miss Mouse.
There is, actually. There's Mouser in Mario 2.
Mouser.
Yeah, there is, but that's like saying that Lakitu is in all the games that he's in.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Honestly, I wanted to give Lackalester a good go, Joe.
Stop, Gino. Don't finish your sentence. But what do you even use Miss Mao's for in battle?
To pierce enemies. Like if you're fighting like Bone Tail or you're fighting like the Shadow Queen, for example, like you don't have to worry about any of the defense. You can pierce through it.
That's easy mode.
That's not easy mode, that's just strategy.
I'm going to pull a Riley here. That's not a strategy.
You can also steal. So if you want to get items off of something, like some enemies carry badges, you could steal them off them.
That's true.
If you need Lackalester to literally progress through the story of the first Paper Mario, like, aren't there certain gaps you literally cannot cross without him?
Yes.
Okay. So therefore, automatically, in my opinion, better than her. Because you don't need
her. Ms. Mouse has a better character. That's the optional point.
Yeah. My question is Ms. Mouse in a relationship with another character? Isn't Lackalester in a relationship with the... I don't know. Sounds like she kind of makes her rounds.
Yeah, so?
Joe, what are you insinuating with that statement?
She's constantly smooching Mario.
I didn't say anything.
You know, I'll be honest. I don't want to die on the Ms. Mouse Hill.
Yeah.
So, I genuinely believe Lackalester is the worst party member, and whatever, but...
Gino... Let's just fall over.
But I'm willing to fall over, too. I don't think anyone cares about the outcome of this.
Nobody cares enough. Let's
this is
just
ridiculous.
Flip a coin, okay?
We didn't even get to
I'm
the
flipping
first
a coin right now, okay? I'm flipping a coin right now, okay? I'm flipping the coin. I'm on Google flipping the coin. What are we saying? Tails should be...
Miss Mouse
and heads should be Lackitu, okay?
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. It is... heads. So Lackalester, you can move on.
God damn it.
This is a hub world first.
I like how we all agreed that we didn't care. After arguing for 10
minutes.
Not
the hill we're going to die on. Like, we care, but it's just not the hill we're going to die on. Now, see, this next one, Goombella and Vivian, is tough because they both have so much great representation on Google Images.
No.
God,
jeez. For this one, I'll start. It's easily Goombella for me. Like, she's the first partner you get in Thousand Year Door. When I think of Paper Mario partners and like how criminal it was in games after Thousand Year Door where they got rid of partners and they like basically sucked all the personality out of those games. For me, when I think of a personality of a partner, I think of Goombella.
Mm-hmm.
And her Tattle ability is arguably one of the most useful moves in that whole game.
Agreed.
And I just love the whole like sort of idea of completing your book and tattling all the enemies and having all that, like, to me, like, I never really liked Vivian as a partner. She was probably my least used partner in that game. Maybe there's one other one I'll get to later, but, like, I don't know. Goombella to me is just, like, she's the first and she's arguably, like, my favorite in Thousand Year Door. I wouldn't say she's the best in that game, but, like, she's just so useful and just oozing with personality.
I see your point. I kind of agree. And what's tough about these characters is that they both have a lot of personality. And if I'm being honest, I don't like the Goomba partners because I think that they are useless. Now, let me tell you a tale. That is the opinion I had for all of my many playthroughs of Paper Mario 1 and 2. I was like, Goombella and Goombario are useless. Once you get the Koopas, there's no reason to ever use them again except for Tattle. That's it. So I would have easily said Vivian just for the fact that I found she was more useful. However, on my most recent playthrough of Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, I did the challenge playthrough of not giving yourself any health and only putting it into badge and flower points. And I discovered through this method that Goombella is the best partner in the entire game. Without her, I would have never finished the game. And Goombella, my entire perspective of the Goombas changed. And it's for one specific reason. And it's because Goombella's final ability gives Mario a second turn. She can just pass her turn to him. And for that reason, Goombella is the most useful partner in the game.
Because Mario is the most broken character in the game.
That's funny.
But no, I actually would go with Goombella. Goombella has grown on me. She has a really strong character.
She's got a great likable too.
Yeah, she is. She is very, very cool. I like her. Just don't Google search her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't.
Vivian just isn't good at all. Honestly, I don't like any of the Shadow Sirens. They were this menacing and, like, kind of, like, mean, forced, and, like, the two other sisters were kind of just, like, bullying Vivian all the time, and then once Vivian switches sides, they become essentially, like, Team Rocket, the joke.
I think they were the joke from the beginning.
And I noticed the real big shift toward after Vivian's all, like, I'm sick and tired of this, I'm gonna leave you for Mario. But the thing is, though, like, Vivian's abilities, I don't like the whole kind of just, like, I don't know. Goombella's just way better, and for all the reasons that you guys said, turning invisible or, like, pulling Mario into the ground, it's just like, okay, fine, whatever. That's just Bao, but, like, worse, in my opinion. I don't know.
Bao?
You mean so Bao? I'm going to go with Goombella also. I thought it was Bao. Oh.
He literally wears bows.
I noticed that, but I always, in my head, that's what it was.
Well, you learn something new every day.
It sounds like I'm the only person that actually used Vivian. Like,
I used her
throughout. Like, I used her a lot throughout Thousand Year Door that I could remember, like, as a kid. Like, frequently, but I think I agree. I think Goombella is more of a character. Strong, independent Goomba.
She's educated. Okay. There you have it. Goombella moves on to the next round. We now have
stressful.
A battle between the two characters who technically originate on Yoshi's Island, Sushi and Yoshi Kid.
I mean, it's got to be Yoshi Kid, right?
Second that.
Is this even a battle?
It's hard because here's the thing. I do really love Yoshi Kid, but Sushi, she's so great. She's a really fun character, and I do really like her in gameplay, and I think she's super useful as a character. But that being said, Yoshi Kid is also super useful outside of combat, and Yoshi Kid obviously is cute, and we all love Yoshi's, and he has a mohawk, and we all have different associations with him because he has, you know, different colors depending on when you get him.
You can nickname him whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can also, like, force the color on the Yoshi Kid if you change your name, the file name, to a color name.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love his attitude as well. Like, and in combat, like, in combat, he's arguably the best partner to have. Like, the ground pound ability is so good, and just, like, what a great design. It's everything you love about Yoshi, but, like, he's got attitude. I love it. Honestly, I think it's my favorite. He's my favorite partner in all of Paper Mario, period.
I think personality and, like, outside of battle use, he's like pretty high up there. In battle, I kind of disagree with you. In battle, I actually, like, he's good when you get him, but he's somebody who becomes trivial later because two of his main abilities, which are the ground pound and the gulp, are pretty trivial against, like, large enemies because you can't gulp, like, big bosses, and anything that has even one defense, you can't do damage with the ground pound. So I actually don't think he's great in combat, but I do think he's strong enough that I would place him higher than Sushi.
I have a story for you all, though, to change your mind.
Okay, let's hear.
The history of Sushi. Does anyone remember how Sushi joined your party?
You had to get all the Yoshi kids back, right?
So, Sushi, who apparently was their babysitter of the Yoshi children, went looking for them. The Yoshi children, who were playing hide-and-seek together, pulled a prank on Sushi, leaving her to be on top of a tree, and then they ran off and stranded her on top of the tree. Are you really gonna yet Yoshi kid, which is a descendant of these Yoshi children, beat Sushi, who was so hurt by their actions?
Yes.
Well, I guess that's that. Yoshi it is.
That's a fair, that's a good story, though.
Yeah.
That is how it happened.
I remember that, and I was kind of like, wow, these Yoshi kids are kind of jerks, but that's not this Yoshi. This Yoshi calls you the great Gonzalez.
This Yoshi looks like a jerk.
Nah, he's just a bratty little kid.
I'll be honest, I want not a plush all... of that Yoshi. Yeah, I agree.
No, you want a plush of all the partners.
Not all the colors of this Yoshi look cool, in my opinion. Some of the Mohawks look dumb.
The blue one, the light blue Yoshi, was awful. And it had like a yellow poop swirl.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Like, not all of them are great, but a lot of them are. Okay, we're on to Coops from Thousand Year Door and Watt from the original.
I always thought that Watt was supposed to be like the angry, like a child of the angry sun from Mario 3. That was like the worst enemy to go up against in the original one, because like you couldn't do any damage to it. It was constantly like attacking you and stuff, and you have this little sun kind of character, and it has electric powers and electricity is cool and stuff. Like, so like little Gino thought like, yeah, Watt's super cool, let's use Watt. And then I find Koops is a better Koopa personally, because of the journey that he kind of goes on from being like this shy little Koopa that's not really that confident and has a really cool hoodie, and eventually kind of like grows up a bit and was like, okay, I'm confident on my own 2 feet. And like, you see this like this big character change within Koops. Like, I feel like Koops has, like, out of all of these characters, has the best, second best, sorry, journey in Paper Mario. So I'm kind of torn on this one, but if I'm going on just pure like nostalgia for me, I think I have to go with Watt.
Gino, I agreed with everything you were saying except with the ending of where you said you have to go with Watt. Everything you said is exactly the reason why I would pick Koops. And I just love Koops. He's like the unlikely hero character arc, really. Like, he's just like, you wouldn't expect him to be a powerful party member. And he's just so shy and so timid. And then he ends up becoming like arguably the best partner in the game as well. Like, in my opinion, like, I love like the timing elements of his attacks. Like, I just something I was able to do. And I felt like I was accomplishing something as a kid. Like, Koops, I think, is such a great design as well. The bandage on his nose, like, it's, yeah, I don't know. I love Koops.
I also have a similar story to Gino, but I didn't think that Watt was an angry sun. I didn't know what the hell Watt was. I was convinced Watt was just an original thing till much, much later. And I still can't look at Watt the same, because I think that the pacifier looks like Watt's nose. And that's how I view Watt.
It's a pacifier?
It's a pacifier. Baby. It's a baby.
What the hell?
Right?
Just quickly, with the nose, if you envision the pacifier as a nose, Watt looks like a wiggler.
It's like really strange. I didn't know what Watt was. That's why I thought it was like original. But here's the thing. I can acknowledge the journey that you and Gino refer to for Koops. I actually don't think Koops' story is that good. I think it's real basic. I find Koops very forgettable. I don't dislike Koops. I don't find him unique. Like, I feel like they got away with Goombella being similar to Goombario because she has such a unique, vibrant personality. But for Koops, I always felt like this just feels like Cooper. Like, it, like, to me, he never felt distinct enough that I never really, like, grew attached to him. Whereas Watt, I always liked because she was very unique. I was like, what is this? And also in combat, she's super, super useful because she's the piercer in Paper Mario 1. And she does way more damage than Ms. Mouse does. And her, like, support abilities are way better. So purely from combat, like, I think Watt is the best partner in Paper Mario 1. And I just prefer Watt as a character.
I agree. I prefer Watt. And even though Koops plans to go run for mayor, we all know that Koops isn't going to get elected anyways. So from my perspective, Watt, way cooler. Watt I think is also the only partner in Paper Mario 1 that can damage Bowser when Bowser has a star run. Like, when you actually attack him, it deals like it just deals one damage, but just to say, Watt's that powerful.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would pick Watt because even like even Koops, I love the Koopas, but like you can't deal damage against anything in the air. Like, it's absolutely useless. But Mateo, do you agree?
Agree about what?
I thought you picked Koops.
I did pick Koops.
You? Oh, do you have to convince you, or no, we just win?
Yeah, it's three Ooh. Against one.
I voted for Watt.
Okay.
Okay, we're on to the second side of the bracket. This one is Twink from Paper Mario 1 and Bo, or Bao, as Gino said, from Paper Mario 1.
I'm going with Bao Wow.
I'm going with Bao. Twink isn't a real party member.
I will say, Gate, you can say Twink isn't a real party member, that's fine. However, Twink has a very good... I can't say his name. The Star Child has a very good story, I think. Like, I think he has, like... He's, like, really, like, the character that has, like, a consistent story throughout Paper Mario 1, and he's really, really well done. I like his story, in my opinion. His story is what you guys just described Koops' story as, but better. The, like, star kid who wants to be brave and wants to be big and powerful and mighty, like the star spirits that he heard so much about, but then they get captured by Bowser, so he takes it upon himself to rescue the princess and help, and then, like, stands up against Bowser. Like, I think his story is great. That being said, Bo is my favorite party member, and nobody is beating Bo, so Bo is my vote. I'll talk more about Bo when we get to a matchup where I need to defend her. I don't need to defend her right now.
I like baking cake with Twink, the baking cake mini game with Peach. And come on, like, I have like the music stuck in my head, so I'm actually going to pick Twink.
I have the Twink music stuck in my head, too.
I honestly could care less about either of these characters, so we'll do a best 2 out of 3 for this one. I will pull my vote.
We have Paracarry versus Bombette.
I gotta go with Paracarry because Paracarry is great. I love paratroopas and the whole like mailman vibe that Paracarry has, and like all the paratroopas are just the Mushroom Kingdom's postal service,
and the fact that Paracarry comes back in Thousand Year Door at the beginning of the game. Great. Paracarry's my favorite companion from the first Paper Mario, and he's not, like, that great in combat, but traversal with Paracarry is kind of cool. Like, you use him a lot. Design-wise, I love the, like, the flight goggles he wears, and he still has his letter bag. I find that in general, just the Thousand Year Door characters are better designed than the original ones, but Paracarry has, like, some of that, the design elements I love about Thousand Year Door still. So I'm going to go with Paracarry. Like, Bombette's just a pink bomb.
That's the just a pink bomb?
Yes.
That's Mario 64.
Yes, yeah. That's what Bombette is. Oh, she's got a pigtail. Okay, but fine, whatever. But, like, she's just a pink bomb.
I do agree with you. I do like Bombette. She's a cute character, but like I do agree with you. Like Thousand Year Door does like up the ante with a lot of the designs and like the characters. And Paracarry is one of those classic ones from the first game that was like a cut above the rest.
He's on the box art.
Yeah, like Paracarry is very well designed, and I think he's a great character. He's useful. He has a cool side quest associated with him. He's relatively useful throughout the whole game if you want to use him. So I would go with Paracarry.
Isn't there a whole side quest where like you have to use Paracarry to deliver letters to people?
Yep. You have to help him deliver letters, yeah.
He's like, okay, Mario, I'll help you with this, but I still have a job.
So is that Paracarry's one, or?
I understand Paracarry gets to move on, but I want to point out the fact in Sticker Star, Paracarry makes a cameo and a letter found in a trash pile, where in my opinion, his character belongs compared to Bombette. I love Bombette. Paracarry can move forward. The name.
A game that belongs in a trash pile has a letter from a great character in a trash pile.
I can't confirm the great character portion, but Paracarry, yeah.
Screw Sticker Star.
I love Bombette.
I like Bombette, too. I think she would have won had she been against other characters, but Paracarry is
I understand.
Now, we do get another debate of Bomb versus Koopa, which Shitty is bomb. Bobbery and
oh my God. Cooper.
Joe, you take that back.
Yes.
You take that back.
Clearly, Pink Bomb is so much better.
Bobbery has the greatest mustache.
You didn't cry when Bobbery's tragic backstory is shared?
No.
And the bitter heart of gold, like, old man comes through and is like, yes, you're right, I have been a fool. Like, he's such a well-written character. Like, he's that moment. Bobbery, for me, is that moment. Like, and there's very few of these in Paper Mario across the series. But he's one of those ones where it's like, damn. Like, they let themselves be deep. Because they don't always do that. But, like, Bobbery was one of those moments where I was like, damn, like, this is real sad. Like, this is, like, real human emotion, as Tommy Wiseau would describe it.
The two times in which the Paper Mario series has generated that level of emotion for me were both done with bombs. And, like, say what you want about Paper Mario Origami King, but Bobby is a fantastic character. And that was so gut-wrenching what happened to him in that game. And then Bobbery is just exactly the same. Like, Nintendo, when they're writing bomb characters, they know the right strings to pull there. And Bobbery's design is phenomenal, how he has the glorious mustache. And what do you even call it? The key on his back is a wheel?
No, it's a ship steering wheel.
Yeah, I know, but that's the key you wind on the Bob-ombs, right? But it's the steering wheel. Like, that's fantastic. Key All Key's a great chapter in that game, and, like, the emotional weight of Bobbery's story is such a huge part of that. Like, and not to mention, he is a fantastic partner, again, for combat. Like, I suck at button mashing. Okay.
I can still see Mateo struggling mashing A to do the big blast ability. He would make faces and it's like, eh.
I rarely pull that off. Even today, if I were to play the remake and I would attempt that, I would fail miserably. But, like, Bobbery, it's him and Yoshi Kid for me. Like,
I don't know if it goes that far for me, but no, he is great. Good. He is a great character. Cooper is...
I'm not trying to be a dick, but I do not remember Cooper at all. Like, what is he like?
Cooper is my most memorable.
Yeah, he wants to be an adventurer. He's like the apprentice. He, like, wants to become the apprentice of Colorado, and he's like all about, like, I want to be an adventurer like you, and then he, like, follows you around on your adventures, and then he's also the one who, I believe, at the very end of the game, narrates... like going around with Colorado and visiting places. Am I wrong?
I'm pretty sure you're correct.
Like, unless Cooper is, in my opinion, Cooper is like the Goombella of Paper Mario 1.
But is Cooper better than Bobbery, though?
I don't think he's better than Bobbery. I personally, my vote is Bobbery, but I do think Cooper is a good character.
Cooper is the one that goes ahead and has joined Colorado and does the whole epilogue thing.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
I thought that Koops' dad was Cooper, just with thick eyebrows. They have the same color palette. Koops' dad has, like, the orange skin and the blue shell. And I'm like, is that the Paper Mario 1 guy?
Does Koops' dad have a blue shell?
He does. And he has thick eyebrows.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that must be Koops. There must be Cooper.
The sad
okay.
thing about this is when I look at the, like, who we've let go through, and I know, like, this is so arbitrary about who is, like, beside each other, it's just sad to me that Bombette and Cooper, who I think are fairly good Paper Mario 1 partners, won't be in the next round, but we let Lackluster go.
That was a coin toss. You're
the one
decide.
That generated this, Jules, okay?
I was willing to flip-flop to Miss Mouse.
I'm upset.
I do have to go with Bobbery. I'm sorry.
I literally wish that Bobbery just drowned when his ship wrecked. Never mind being on the verge of death.
Rude.
Yeah, sunk it all the way down.
I'm
to the
surprised
bottom.
You don't like Bobbery.
Bobbery's like.
I didn't really? Use Bobbery. I barely used Bobbery in Thousand Year Door.
Very like interesting. I'm learning lots about our experiences with Paper Mario. I thought we all had similar opinions. I'm learning that's not the case. Okay, the last one is Goombario versus Madame Flurry.
Joe, you start.
I really like Goombario, but because I feel like Goombella is just a better version of Goombario, even though, like, I also prefer Paper Mario 1 partners, I think Madame is technically a better partner. Just, I don't know. She also was heavily used in my playthrough, whereas Goombario was used literally until I got Cooper. So I think I'd have to go with Madame.
As much as like Flurry is such a meme because you hold on to her breast as she blows, I think she's probably the stupidest looking thing in Paper Mario. I think she's useless. She is one of those characters like Lackluster that when you get her, she's not even the best party member to have. Mm-hmm. And I personally don't find her very interesting. I find her funny because of how she looks. But I think I would go with Goombario, even though I think Goombario is fairly like plain.
I feel like you're able to discover a lot of secrets with Madame Flurry just because like she can like use the breath attack, like her breath ability to just like blow away pieces of paper that are like covering up secrets and stuff. Like I remember this one area, you could actually find a secret chest if you blow the air in a specific place, and it just like, it's like a post-it note that kind of just like peels off and like, oh, there's a chest here now. Or there's a hidden path that I can follow that'll bring me to a secret area or things like that. I feel like a lot of my like negative association with Flurry is because I really didn't like the Puny Tree level, and that's her level. But I would always come back to adding Flurry back to my party because I believe she got a lot better once you leveled her up. Like once you invested some of those like partner points or whatever it was, like in the partner upgrade area, she got a lot better. And like eventually, like you could be fighting like really annoying battles and you could just use her just to blow the enemies away and just like, I don't want to deal with this.
That's what I was going to say. You can just blow them off the stage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely why I used her a lot. That sounds like something I would do as a kid. Not like play the game to not play the game.
Like if you were doing some grinding and all that kind of stuff, right? Like you want to I wouldn't want to fight certain enemies because they might have a spike top or something, and I don't want to deal with that with Mario if I was doing a jump build. I would just blow them off the stage and like be gone with you.
Is it Flurry then?
Yeah, I'm still going with Flurry. Yeah. Just I feel like Goombario, like I have a lot of really positive memories with the Goomba Village and like the first real few zones of Paper Mario 1. Just I feel like just Goombella does it a lot better.
That's okay. Yeah. Mateo, I can't remember, you voted as well.
I guess Madame Flurry, but like I don't really like either of these characters. Like Flurry is like Vivian to me. Like I barely used her. I don't like her design.
Okay, so Madame Flurry, we'll move on. Okay, we're in round two. So we're going to go through our second rounders. We'll start over on the other side. So we have Lackluster versus Goombella. I will start Goombella off by saying, yeah, Lackluster shouldn't be here. Goombella's way better. I don't know. How do you guys feel?
Just by the fact that Lackluster won with a coin toss makes me think that Goombella should just win by default, because all of us were willing to just dump Lackluster or Miss Mouse just to get our way. So like, I kind of think that that's pretty telling right there.
I would still prefer Lackluster over Goombella. I never used Goombella. I hated like the tattle abilities, but that will still make it 3-1. So just end it. Just end it.
Goombella goes. We have Yoshi Kid versus Watt.
I am like ride or die Team Yoshi Kid. So everything I said before, I'm not going to say it again, but like design, personality, customizability, like all of that, everyone kind of has a one of a kind Yoshi Kid. And like, I like the fact that you kind of like you raise him and the Glitz Pit is just such a fantastic level. And he's such an integral part of that. Like,
well, so, we know you're sold on Yoshi Kid. Is anybody feeling differently?
I still like Watt.
Yeah.
The light ability is really good. Watt is still a child also. So like you have this little baby that you're taking care of and it's super powerful. The Shy Guy's toy box was, I found, a very interesting and fun level as well. I wasn't expecting that. I like the whole gimmick of it. Like you had the gourmet guy and stuff in there. You had the train conductor Shy Guys and stuff. And Shy Guys really don't get a lot of love anywhere else outside of, I feel like outside of the Yoshi franchise. And they did a really good job with that level. And that's Watt's level.
This is a very interesting like pitch of like this character you get in that level and the level's good, so that therefore the character's good. Like,
no, I like the character too. Like Watt, like again, like as I said pit, before, you know, the Glitz Pit's great. Don't get me wrong,
but this isn't a level thing. This is a character thing.
I like Watt's abilities, and I also like the it also has that like kind of like here's this little kid then that you have to keep safe and you have to protect it.
That's the Yoshi.
That's Yoshi too.
I know, but like
at least Watt has a pun for a name. Yoshi Kid, like they gave up. It's just Yoshi Kid.
You can name him whatever you want.
Watt is also more useful after you get her than the Yoshi Kid is. Yoshi Kid starts really, really good because it has the free multi-bonk with the ground pound. But as like if you're going up against an enemy that has defense or a spike top head, it's kind of useless. Then you have like, okay, you have your stampede ability, but you have to spend upgrade points and all that stuff into it too.
The stampede is cool.
It is cool, don't get me wrong. But the thing is like Watt is good consistently and grows the abilities grow with Mario's power also. Yoshi Kid's kind of doesn't. And it's like Yoshi Kid is the best when you get him and then kind of levels off really quickly.
I don't know, Watt to me has a stupid design in my opinion. Like
no.
I'm Watt sorry.
Watt has the best design. You don't even know what it is.
Exactly. That's why I don't like Watt.
You know why you're allowed to name the Yoshi Kid? Because Nintendo called it in, they phoned it in, they're like, I don't know what to name this thing. Let's just let them name it.
Mario, his best companion is Yoshi, and what better companion can they pull from to make a partner in this game than an actual friendly like race in a Mario game? Like all of the other partners are they're enemies basically that are not enemies in Paper Mario for some reason. Yoshi is Mario's best friend basically in the actual games, and they're actually like adapting that real relationship as a character in Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. And that's not something I can say about any other character in this bracket. It's perfect. Like Mario and Yoshi is like a man and a dog. Like it's like Mickey Mouse and Pluto. Like it just makes so much sense. I don't know. Gino, you're not allowed to be a fan of the great Gonzalez and anything like that anymore. Like I'm
entitled to his opinion.
No, I am shaken right now.
let's pause. We're not at the end of the discussion. Mateo, we know why you like Yoshi Kid. Now we could always name the Yoshi Kid Watt and then say Watt moves through.
That is true.
Now, I'll be honest, I'm fence sitting on this one, so I needed to see what people were saying, because I actually like these two equally. They're both really good characters, and they're probably some of my most used characters. I'm definitely fence sitting, but for reasons I cannot disclose at this time, my vote will go toward Yoshi Kid.
Dang, I am legitimately surprised.
But there's so many things that makes Watt better.
As much as I would love the chaos of picking Watt, because Yoshi Kid is clearly the favorite of like the fan base of Paper Mario, and I would love the upset, I am going to say Yoshi Kid because, again, like I can't disclose my entire rationale behind it, but I do think just purely as a character, Yoshi Kid is more of a character than Watt. Like, I'll say, like, just character-wise, Watt is way more useful in combat, but Yoshi Kid is more useful in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, I'm going to say Yoshi Kid has 2 out of 3 on Watt, so I'm going to go with Yoshi Kid, personally.
Yeah, like, I forgot. I didn't even mention the fact that, like, Yoshi Kid basically is the lackluster. Like, Yoshi Kid's the fast movement speed throughout the game.
No, that's not lackluster. Lackluster is not that fast. Yoshi Kid's actually fast.
Well, they serve the same purpose within their games.
Yes. Not even lackluster. The spin and paracarry.
The spin and paracarry.
And we let Goombella through. Like, what the hell is this?
No, but this is a tie, so we have to figure out what to do. We flipping a coin?
I will say, I really like not having to make my file name the color that I want of the Yoshi Kid and not have to, like, base it off of some arbitrary just whatever. Was it, like, how quickly you get there?
It has something to do with the amount of time from when you get the egg to when you battle the people. It's like based off a minute, off of minutes. It's something like 2 to 3 minutes is one color, 3 to 4 is another color, 4 to 5 is another color, until you get to the last color, and then it just resets. Mm-hmm. So you can actually track it if you time yourself.
Yeah, green is like, green 0 to 6, and then so on until white is 19 to 20 resets.
Well, I know I'm naming my file green in Thousand Year Door Remastered. So
I feel like that's just like, okay, you name your file a color and then it just overrides it. Like, okay, yeah, that's a really, like, that's neat if you want to do it. But at the same time, I feel like then I don't have the file as my name.
For the Yoshi kid, I never, ever try to dictate what color I get. I let it up. I let it be up to fate.
No, I always got to go green. Like, the file name is meaningless in a Paper Mario game. Like, it never gets used for any reason at all.
What do you name the Yoshi kid?
I name him Gonzalez.
Gonzalez and the Great Gonzalez.
So, how are we determining this tie? Just in sake of time, I want to move forward.
Honestly, I'm kind of like in the same boat as you, Jules. I like both of the characters, but I want to see Watt go through just because I feel like Watt doesn't get enough love.
I can't believe it's a pacifier. Blown my mind. I thought it was a nose.
I knew it was a baby right from the get-go based off of, like, just the dialogue.
Is there a more entertaining way we could do it other than a coin flip?
One of you two can bend the knee.
Good luck.
Watt doesn't have any knees.
Tails?
Yoshi kid has a tail, and Watt is nothing but a kid.
So, flip a coin. I don't love doing the flip a coin, but we'll do the flip a coin. It is heads. Therefore, Watt moves on. To be fair, like I said, I was a fence sitter, so I could have gone either way. So in that sense, Kid had two votes and Watt had three. So you could just reconcile with that if that makes you feel better. Bo versus Paracarry. I will begin. This is why I've stuck it out for Yoshi. I know you like Paracarry, but Bo is the best partner in the series. And Bo, I will be damned if Bo is not the winner of this matchup. Because Bo is fantastic. She's funny. There's a reason. There's a goddamn reason only one partner from the first game made it back in a significant way where you could speak to them in Thousand Year Door. And it's because Bo is the best one. And her character, Bootler, who's her butler, is also amazing. And that chapter is amazing. And Boos are the superior Mario enemy.
But without Paracarry and Thousand Year Door, there would be no quest. Paracarry had the most important job. He delivered Mario the letter that then started the quest.
But as Joe said, Paracarry also makes a cameo appearance in the worst Paper Mario game.
But he was doing his job. He was delivering mail.
See, what I love about Bo, though, is because she's not necessarily like a good guy. She's just like, she kind of like starts off, you think she's going to be the antagonist of the chapter, and then she's like, I guess I'll join you. And you know, she's a revolutionary. She's like, my people are literally being eaten and murdered by this person. So I'm going to, as the good leader I am, take it upon myself to travel with Mario. And even Bootler's like, are you sure you want to do that? You could die. And she's like, of course. She's like, these are my people. And then she's like, yeah, I like you, Mario. I'm going to come with you. She's also the Yoshi kid of this game, where she has that attack that does like a ton of damage, the slap. And she's the Vivian. She can make you invisible so that you can avoid big damage moves, which is way more important in the first game than in the second game, because the first game doesn't have super dodge, which trivializes Vivian being able to help you avoid damage. Whereas with Bo, that was the only way you could avoid those big, like, attacks that, like, Bowser or, I can't remember his name, the Koopa that's, like, blocking the way to the Koopa Bros tower later in the game. Like, those characters that do like 11-12 damage, that's significant in Paper Mario 1 when you can only have 50 HP and there's no way to avoid. Like, Bo is super useful.
I really like Paracarry, but like, as useful as the fly is, I thought like you could like hover a lot farther. When I eventually played through the game a second time, I'd be like, yeah, I got Paracarry, and then I tried using the ability to like do things, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't nearly as good as I thought it would be. But yeah, I did use Bao. I did use Bao for a lot of the battles and stuff as well when I was playing through Paper Mario 1. The thing is, like, these were my two mains, actually, until I got Watt, and then it became Bao and Watt. So for that reason and that reason alone, I'll have to go with Bao, just because she stuck it out in my party a lot longer. Because she was the third partner you got, right?
She was the fifth.
Okay, and then Watt was six.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, Paracarry was, I think, three or four then.
He was four.
I'm standing by with Paracarry.
I think I like Paracarry too. Bo's level scared me, so I never liked using her as a kid. I hated that whole area. I was terrified.
Sounds like it's another toss of a coin.
No, we're not going to do this, because using your logic, like, I'm a fence sitter and you can count it as two for Bao.
But we flipped the coin for Watt and Yoshi.
I know, but then you said if you can justify it in your head, it's like, I was a fence sitter and then...
No, yeah, but that was just to make people happy. Now you're going to make me sad.
Oh, God. It's okay when you do it to make people happy, but when other people do it to make you sad.
If it makes you feel better. It's tails for Paracarry anyway, so.
I did like, what was the Boston level? Tubba Blubba?
Oh, I love Tubba Blubba.
Okay, so Paracarry moves forward.
I stand by that Bo is the best party member, but we win some, we lose some.
I'm 3-for-3 on coin tosses, so I just win.
I'm just starting this. Bobbery is going. I'm not voting
Medan. Yeah, we're not, I'm not, this is not even an argument.
I do want to hear what Joe has to say, though.
I just don't like Bobbery. Like, I don't know. Like I said, should have died.
When you play the remake, you're going to be like, wow, I was so wrong about Admiral Bobbery.
When I play the remake, I hope they made it optional to save him. Add another optional character.
Let him die.
Let him die. Okay. Put him through.
Okay, sounds good. We're in our semifinals, so we start with Watt versus Goombella.
I'm on Team Goombella. Goombella gets way too much hate. And she's low-key a fantastic partner, so I'm going to stick with Goombella.
Like, I don't hate Goombella, but I have nothing good to say about her. Like, I have a lot of good things to say about Watt.
Your Team Watt, okay.
Team Watt.
Vino?
Oh, gosh. I like both of these characters. Oh, gosh. Watt was the final, like, my main for after I got her in Paper Mario 1. And I feel like in Paper Mario 2, I switched between different characters depending on what I needed. I was a party swapper in Thousand Year Door because I gave Mario a lot of health and FP so I could use like more attacks and things. Like I wasn't really much of a badge user, so I couldn't just be like, okay, make Mario super OP and then just use any partner that I wanted to kind of like fill the gaps. I did like using the partners in that game, and I just made Mario just like a health tank and like gave him a few select abilities and a few select badges just to like cement that kind of playstyle. I did end up using a lot of like partner badges and stuff. And for that, I think I have to go with Watt. Just because when I had Watt, Watt was just like, okay, you're staying on my party now and I'm just going to like power through.
Yeah, I mean, Watt, it was my main in Paper Mario 1, even though like Bo is my favorite, like Watt is the most useful in combat. However, like I said, Goombella, prior to my most recent playthrough of Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, could not care for her. But I'm wholeheartedly Goombella right now. I think Goombella is unsung. She doesn't get enough love in the game. And I'm sticking with Goombella.
I do have to say, like, using the Tattle and filling the book is very much kind of like filling the Pokedex in Pokemon. So it kind of adds like kind of like a collector card kind of thing. It adds kind of like a collector. It's like a sub game within the game. And I know Paper Mario 1 didn't really have that.
I think for her, it's the same thing as I kind of said about the Yoshi kid. Watt, don't get me wrong, I think Watt combat-wise is really great, and I love Watt's design. But I think Goombella is probably the best characterized, or at least one of the best characterized like partners in Thousand Year Door, and especially because you spend a lot of time with her, because she, even when she's not your partner, like she does pop up sometimes to talk, because she does have a little bit of like consistent story, and I don't know, I just really like her character. She's such a good start and end point, because she also tells the epilogue at the end, and especially if you do what I do, which is I tattle everything, I'm always using her. So even if I'm not constantly like using her every time, like I usually start my battles or like start every level with her at the front of my party tattle, and then maybe swap her out. But she also
do the same thing.
Multi-balance is really strong. Like she can be super, super useful. I think Watt's more useful in the context of her game. I think Thousand Year Door adds a lot of variety and like ability to use other party members, whereas in the first game, it does kind of like stonewall you off to some of the earlier ones. But I like Goombella. I want to stick with Goombella.
Oh, gosh. I think I'm going to flip-flop. Sorry, Joe. The thing is, both characters are great.
Okay. Other side of the semifinals, we have the one, the only Paracarry versus the also one and the only Admiral Bobbery. I like both these characters. They're both strong. I resent Paracarry for beating Bo, but I like Paracarry better than Bobbery. I kind of agree with Joe. Like, I think Bobbery has a great story. Bobbery's not even in my top three in Thousand Year Door. I love him. But he had an easy ride because he went up against some of the, in my opinion, lower tier characters in his ride so far. I don't think he got nothing on Paracarry. I'm Paracarry on this one.
I'm also Paracarry.
Bobbery's my number two in all of the Paper Mario series. Paracarry is my number probably three, I would think. It's tough for me because Paracarry is my favorite in the first game for sure. Yeah, jeez, it's tough. But I got to go with Bobbery. Paracarry wishes he had a tragic backstory like Admiral Bobbery.
He does have a tragic backstory. He lost all his mail.
You still have to work.
And he has a tragic future story. He had to appear in Sticker Star.
I don't want to go to another tie, but I love Bobbery's character. But I think I have to kind of go back to where Paper Mario 1 was one of those types of games that after I had a partner, I had like, I would stick with one of them, maybe switch back and forth with a second one. But I feel like with Paper Mario 2, I was constantly switching, kind of like what Jules did. I started with Kumbella and then did the Tattle, switched to another character, did some damage and stuff with them. Or I may have like even just done some status stuff with other characters and eventually like came back in and finished off with Bobbery. So I got to know each of the party members a little better, but Paracarry makes multiple appearances in all the games. Paracarry is going to go forward. I'm sorry. As much as I love Bobbery, and Bobbery's great story is a really strong thing, but like the big blast abilities, I feel like could have been like defended against a little easier later on.
Okay. The final round, Kumbella versus Paracarry. I feel we've talked about these two to the death. I'm going Kumbella.
I'm going to go with Kumbella as well. And if this was even like 2 years ago, I would be like, oh, Kumbella's awful. She's just
agreed.
And so annoying, this and that, 100%. Whatever. But like the Tattle ability is just almost essential from a gameplay point of view, like to a degree. But just from like Juno said, like having that extra like collectible element added to it, and like the write-up about the enemy as well is something I always appreciate. So like her usefulness in both the gameplay and her like the bonus that she adds to the overall game as well, just from a content point of view, I think is something that's second to none really in the whole series. So I'm gonna go with Kumbella.
I think I'm the person you first mentioned that I've never found Kumbella useful, but maybe replaying Thousand Year Door will make me think differently. But for now, I think I'm Paracarry.
Joe, I will say Kumbella just because I want you to go through that game. A lot of the dialogue that she says about individual enemies and stuff is downright hilarious. And you don't get that unless you actually go through and use like your Tattle ability. Honestly, like there's a good handful, like these, like the four characters that we have here, honestly, like, and this will even extend out to the Yoshi Kid also, like Yoshi Kid, Kumbella, Watt, Bobbery, and Paracarry are like my top five. And
Bo!
Gino ain't saying it.
It's Bao, thank you.
It's Bao.
It's not Bao. This isn't the incredibly good Disney Pixar short film about dumplings, okay?
No, it's Bao as in I bow to you, good sir.
Exactly, because she's posh and stuff, right? So, like, I gotta say Kumbella just because, like, out of all the other characters, I think there's more lines of dialogue and you can really kind of, like, get her personality and, like, kind of, like, bratty, but also kind of, like, spunky and, like, I have an attitude and, like, she's cool, good character and, like, I'm an assistant to the professor. Let's go solve this mystery. As well as like, wow, this enemy is really using that kind of attack. That's gross. Like little things like that. It's just, I found it hilarious.
I can't believe a Goomba won.
You will appreciate Kumbella once the Thousand Year Door comes out on Nintendo Switch.
I won't use her, I don't think. I don't read.
I think Kumbella is like, as you grow up, you appreciate Kumbella more.
Again, like, I don't think anyone, like, if we were having this conversation when we were in, like, grade 7 when this game came out, or grade 6 when this game came out, we'd be like, yeah, the Yoshi is the best one, or yeah, the bomb is the best one, because they're cool.
I don't know what kind of child you were. I didn't have dialogue like that.
I definitely did, and I still do.
Yep.
In any case, that brings us to the end of our podcast. If you like what you heard, consider liking and subscribing, or leave a comment below to let us know who you think is the best Paper Mario partner. Maybe it's not even one from this. Maybe it's one of the ones from Super Paper Mario, and that's the only other game that exists in the series.
Maybe it's Huey.
Who's Huey? That doesn't sound like a character from a Paper Mario game.
Color Splash is decent.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, so it's time to sign out. Mateo?
Microsoft, make a new Banjo game. See everyone.